Well, as you may have picked up from the readings and the songs this morning, today is Pentecost Sunday, the day when we remember the Holy Spirit descending on the disciples and the followers of Jesus in a mighty way on that first Pentecost, and when we celebrate the incredible gift of the Holy Spirit, not just the gift that he was on that first Pentecost, but the gift that he is to us every day, today. The Holy Spirit is kind of like that ultimate upgrade your life kind of package, but one that only God can deliver to us. It's kind of like going from, you know, dial-up internet to a high-speed fiber optic line, only this kind of upgrade doesn't come so that we can, you know, better binge watch something on Netflix. It's for life, for our very souls. Now, one of the ways that we talk about God in the church is we talk about God as Trinity. And next Sunday is Trinity Sunday. You're going to hear that word a little bit then too. But if you're new to the church, or you know, maybe kind of checking this whole Christianity thing out, maybe you're watching online and just happen to see something that this church is doing here, and you hear that word Trinity, it simply means three in one. We believe, the Christian faith, the Bible teaches, that God is one God, not three gods, but one God in three persons, three separate persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but one God. And it's kind of a hard thing for us to wrap our minds around. There's not a really good analogy for that in our world. You've probably come across some analogies of it, maybe like the three-leaf clover, or how water can be water, ice, or steam. None of those analogies are really any good. I hate to break it to you. In fact, I would even go so far as to say any analogy that we can come up with is ultimately going to lead to some sort of heresy. And if you think you've got a good one, talk to me. I'll tell you where it's wrong. But that's how God has revealed himself to us. He has revealed himself to us as one God in three separate persons. And that's kind of all we can say about how that works. We don't know how it works because God is just so much far above us and so outside of who we are. But the implications that God is Trinity, that he is three in one, the implications of that for us are really endless. I mean, just a few of them for us to think about this morning. God exists in a community of persons from all eternity. The three persons of the Trinity have always existed together in perfect community together. And that means it's not okay for us to be alone. We shouldn't isolate ourselves. We're meant for community with others. We're meant for relationships with others because we are made in the image of a God who is in community from all eternity. We are meant for community. We're meant for this life together here. And in the community of the Trinity, there's this interdependence and self-giving love among them that should be present in our relationships too, this interdependence that we have, the self-giving love that we have. I came across this description as I was preparing for this message. I thought it was a really great way to look at it. So that every person in the Trinity is committed to introducing you to the other persons for all eternity. So none of them are thinking of or focused on themselves, but they're focused on the other members of the Trinity. So the Father wants you to know the Son and the Spirit for all eternity. And the Son wants you to know the Father and the Spirit. The Spirit wants you to know the Father and the Son for all eternity. They're always pointing you towards the other members of the Trinity. They want you to know this community that they are in. There's a story that's told about the Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, discussing their vacation plans to get away and unwind for a minute. Just go with me on this one, okay? And as they're discussing where they're going to go, the Father says, well, I'm going to go to the mountains because the mountains, they reflect my majesty, my grandeur, my power. I'm going to go visit the mountains. And the Son, Jesus, says, well, for my vacation, I'm going to go to Palestine, to my old stomping grounds. I want to go back and visit some of the places that I went and lived in. I want to, you know, walk some of those same roads again. I want to go see, you know, what's new in those areas. And the Holy Spirit, they kind of look to him and they're like, you know, Holy Spirit, where are you going for your vacation? And the Holy Spirit thinks for a moment and says, I think I'm going to go check out a Lutheran church. I've never been there before. And it can kind of be a little bit true, right? It's sort of a joke among Lutherans that we kind of forget about the Holy Spirit sometimes. We focus a lot on Jesus, and for good reason. Jesus is our Savior. He is the one who came to die for us, to live for us, to die for us, to rise for us, so that we could be forgiven. He had a really important role in our salvation. And we focus on God the Father because God created all that there is. He loved us and sent Jesus for us to save us and redeem us. But sometimes we get so caught up in focusing on the Father and the Son, we kind of treat the Holy Spirit like an afterthought, or we kind of tack him on, or even maybe forget him sometimes. But the work of the Holy Spirit is incredibly important, even though we don't always recognize his work in our lives. Which is a great thing about God, that we don't have to always recognize that he is at work for him to be at work. We don't always have to realize that God is working in our lives for him to be at work here. So, you know, God the Father created the whole world. He sustains the whole world. Whether we recognize everything coming from him and being sustained by him or not, he is still doing it. And the Son paid for our sins, earning our forgiveness and our place back in the Father's family. He did that for us, whether we recognize it or not. And likewise, the Holy Spirit is at work within us, calling us to faith, doing the work of recreating us every day, whether we're aware of that work or whether we always see that work or not. And so as we start out this morning talking about the Holy Spirit, one of the things that I want to make sure that we get right off the bat here is that we got to make sure we remember the Holy Spirit is a person, not some impersonal force or some mystic energy that we can tap into by living right or by doing some, you know, sort of rituals that we can tap into this power. This isn't Star Wars, the Force, that we're talking about when we talk about the Holy Spirit. That's mysticism. That's not Christianity. Jesus describes the Spirit as a person. In John 14, when he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he uses pronouns, he, him, not it. It's a person that he's talking about. In fact, in the Bible, throughout the Bible, he can be grieved, he can be outraged, he can be quenched. He loves, he helps, he speaks. Sounds like a person, right? But it's easy for us to kind of slip into that mindset of thinking the Holy Spirit is some random force out there in the universe that we can maybe tap into somehow. And part of that maybe comes from the way that we talk about him. Think about it just for a moment. You know, if I were to tell you about some of the interactions that I've had already this morning before we got to the beginning of the service, and you know, I got here this morning and had a conversation with the Adam as he was turning some stuff on and getting things set up, and the CJ and I, we talked a little bit about, you know, what he was going to say before the service, and the Michael and I, we talked about, you know, making sure the microphones were ready to go. You'd start to look at me a little bit funny, right? If I referred to everybody as the so-and-so, we don't talk like that, right? You'd think I'd maybe lost more marbles than I already have. Now, I'm not saying that we have to drop the when we talk about the Holy Spirit, although I don't think it's maybe bad to say, you know, what is Holy Spirit teaching you as you read God's word right now? How is Holy Spirit working in your life? It's certainly a little different way of talking about it. Kind of maybe jars us out of the usual way that we think about it. But it helps to just to recognize that sometimes the way that we talk about him, it can lead us to thinking of him as this impersonal force, where he is a person of the Trinity, just like Jesus is a person, just like the Father is a person of the Trinity. And not only is God's Spirit a person, but God's Spirit is him. I think this is helpful. It is him extending himself in active engagement with his creation in a personal way. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, so he behaves in a personal way. The activity of the Holy Spirit is precisely that of extending God's presence into his creation, in such a way to order and complete what God has planned all along. So in salvation, the Father plans, the Son sacrifices, and the Spirit applies that sacrifice to us. Look at John 14, starting at verse 16. This is on the screen for you. It says, "And I will ask the Father," this is Jesus talking, "and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Now look carefully at verse 16 there. Jesus says, "I will give you another helper." And in the Greek, that word there, that word for another, it means like the former one. Not another one, but like one that is like the former one, just like that one. And who is that previous helper? Who have the disciples been walking around with for 3 years? Jesus. Jesus himself. So Jesus is confirming here that the Holy Spirit himself has the same power, the same authority, the same mission as the Father and the Son. That's why Jesus tells us it's good news for us that Jesus go away. He goes on a little bit later from this to say that I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Well, how is he going to come? Through the Spirit. In fact, he says he will come, or he says to his disciples and to us, he says, "I will be more present with you once I leave than I am now." Now, how in the world does that happen? Well, when Jesus was here walking on the earth, Jesus merely stood by his disciples. He was in one place. But now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he lives in each one of his disciples, not by them, but in their hearts. Not just the 12 disciples, but billions of disciples across the world, across all time. He lives in us. So as followers of Jesus, God, the Spirit, is inside of you, and he's inside of me. And that has an amazing impact on us every single day. The Apostle Paul tells us about that impact when he writes in 1 Corinthians 3, says, "Don't you realize that all of you together," he's talking to the church, to you, "all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you. God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." God living in you makes you his temple, and God's temple is holy. Now, what does it mean to be holy? To be holy means to be set apart. To be set apart from something. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. What he is doing in the lives of disciples everywhere. He wants to set you apart from the crowd. Most people today are just kind of going through life, going with the flow. Going with the flow of the world around them. And most people in this world end up living lives of kind of like generalized meaninglessness, right? We work, we go home, we repeat it all the next day. They're just kind of coasting through life. And when they kick off at the end, the only thing that they leave is a tombstone with some dates on it, or maybe some ash floating around the grass. There's no lasting mark that they leave in this life. And God wants to set you apart from that kind of crowd. He wants to give you a life that leaves an impact, an eternal impact in this world. So that the way that you handle your problems is different from the rest of the world. So that you're different in the way that you raise and run your family and your household. So that you're different in the way that you spend your time and your money and your resources in this life. You're different in the way that you have your hopes and your dreams for the future. So that you're different with the confidence that you have as you face the challenges of your daily life. That's what God wants for you. And that's why God, the Holy Spirit, is ready to set you apart from the crowd, to make you holy, set apart from. So how does he do that? How does God living in me as his temple change how I live my life every day? I've put together a list. Certainly not an exhaustive list by any means, but there are some things on this list. I am certain there are people out here today and people watching online are looking for things that they need. God living in your heart today will cause you to be overflowing with hope. He'll cause you to bear up under and escape temptation. to equip you to be a servant of God, to give you inner strength. He'll allow God to do more than you could ever ask or imagine in and through your life. He'll give you confidence in the difficult times. He'll equip you to resist Satan. He'll provide endurance and patience, give you wisdom and understanding. He'll help you to work hard for him. He will shield you and provide you with everything you need for life and godliness. Now, as you look at that list, I want you to think about and reflect on your own spiritual life. What on this list do you need right now that the Holy Spirit can provide, that he is willing and able to provide for you right now? I want you to pull out your bulletin and circle it. Put a star by that. Maybe underline a couple of them. And when you get home today, I want you to open up your Bible and read that scripture verse that's attached to that. And I want you to read that promise of God in scripture for you that's attached to that, those things that he provides. And pray that the Holy Spirit would be at work in your life in that way. Because this is what the Holy Spirit does. He works in our life. He brings us these things. Might not always look like we expect it to look, but he brings us these things. He might be the person of the Trinity that we tend to overlook or forget about, but he is so important for your day-to-day life as a follower of Jesus. Because he is there to change us, to look more like Jesus to the world around us. He has been sent to set you apart from the rest of the world, to shape you and mold you as you follow Jesus every day. He dwells in you, he makes you holy and set apart, and he does so for a purpose. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." God dwells in you and sets you apart for a specific purpose, so that the world would see Jesus at work in your life. When people around you look at you and they hear from you and they interact with you, you know what they should hear and should see in your life? They should see Jesus Christ and his work in your life. I think maybe this is a little bit why we tend to overlook or forget about the Holy Spirit from time to time. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is never focused on himself. Someone once described the Holy Spirit as standing behind you, pointing a spotlight over your shoulder at Jesus so that you can clearly see Jesus. And I think that's a brilliant picture, because that's what the Holy Spirit so often does, is he's out of the picture behind us. He's better behind the spotlight than in front of the spotlight, and he shines that light at Jesus so that we can see Jesus and that others can see Jesus reflected in us. And he wants to set you apart from that crowd so that people see a difference in you, so they're attracted to the better way of Jesus, the way of Jesus that restores us and makes us whole. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now today, when you bolt out the doors after church, I want to encourage you to kind of look around as you go throughout the rest of your day, as you go throughout the rest of your week. There's going to be people out there who are different than you. Different from you because you've been here today. Because you've embraced Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you walk out of here and your life is different from some people's around you. You walk out of here with hope that you have that other people don't have. Hope that impacts your family. Hope that impacts how you do your job, how you see what happens in the world. How you could be sure of what Jesus is doing in your life, in and through you, that he will never leave you or forsake you. And when we have that kind of hope in our life, we have something to offer people. So offer it to them. Extend them that hope. As disciples of Jesus, I want to encourage you to take seriously the promises of God, but don't stop there. At taking those promises for yourself. Take those promises seriously and then take your next step in that to what God calls you to do in those promises. He offers you hope. So place your hope in him, your trust in him, not in other things, not in yourself or other people or situations. He offers you help to resist temptation. So turn to him when that temptation inevitably comes in your life. He wants to give you wisdom and understanding, so seek it from him. Take time to seek that wisdom. He wants to provide you with what you need to grow in faith and in relationship with him. Let him. Take time to lean into that relationship, to grow as a follower of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, God who dwells in you, enables you to take your next steps in following Jesus. Follow his leading, follow his example in your life as a disciple of Jesus. He's often overlooked, he's often forgotten, and yet he is crucial to your faith and your journey with Jesus and the Father. Let him set you apart for a purpose so that others can see Jesus in your life. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for sending us your Spirit. The Spirit to live in us, to be with us, to give us the promises of your word. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds to his work within us. Help us to follow him, to follow his leading and guiding in our life, even when we're not aware. Lord, thank you for being at work, even when we don't see it. But Lord, when we do see it, help us to lean into that work, to follow you and embrace what you are doing so that we can make a difference in this world for Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen.